In the immortal words of Elton John, Tom Ross Parry, Saturday nights are all right for fighting. Sunday afternoons, however, it seems they're good for podcasts.
I would not disagree with you.
Good, because I'm going to come at you. It's Tom and Matt Attack.
Oh, coming at me.
Yes, like a beam, like a laser, in the immortal words of Mighty Boosh.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a bit tired.
You're tired out, I can tell.
Yeah.
Drink that tea.
I will.
Eat those Oreos.
I will get them both down me.
Because you already talk about video games.
Yeehaw.
This is a moment you've been waiting all week for.
Yeah, with those video games I played this morning. How are you, Tom?
I'm great.
Russell.
Happy to have you over and have a bit of a chat about games. I can't say I've played too many of them myself this week, although I did spend quite a bit of time with Forza Horizon 2 this morning. Mm-hmm. That is a great game just to relax with. Not too difficult, at least in the, I think I've got it set on the regular difficulty level, but you know, it's got a nice sort of easygoing vibe to it.
I can see that. A bit of racing.
A bit of racing, yeah.
Went for a drive on a Sunday.
Sunday drive, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, very fun. And also, I've been getting back into Virtua Fighter.
Hmm.
Yeah, I played Virtua Fighter 2 the other day. I was like, gee, this is probably one of the best fighting games of all time.
Right.
You know why I say that? Because it isn't like all the rest of them. There's a certain amount of... I know there's strategy in all fighting games, but it's a bit more of a methodical pace to Virtua Fighter. Right. And I really appreciated that because I haven't played a game like that for quite some time. Also, in 2 at least, the health bars were quite small. So you really just have to think out your moves and time everything. You know, it just feels like a lot more like a martial arts simulator than most fighting games do. I played a bit of 5 this morning.
Right. This is on the 360, right?
Yeah, 360 through Xbox
2 is on
One.
Saturn, I assume.
Yeah, and 5 also is very good. I think 2 is just... there's something about the experience of 2. I think it's also the... It's got slightly more of a tactical edge because the fights are shorter because of that limited health as
right.
well. Yeah, I really got a newfound appreciation for it. I mean, I've always enjoyed Virtua Fighter, but maybe not as much as some other fighting games. But for a nice change of pace and level of strategy, it's one of the best. And I really hope there's going to be a new one day because, you know, 5 was a long time ago.
It's not really a game I've ever played, to be honest.
Really? You're missing out, man.
I think 5 is in Yakuza 6, from what I remember.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, in the... You are mainly my window to the world of fighting games. Yeah. It's how I have come to appreciate games like Dead or Alive. Confirm my dislike for games like Soul Calibur.
What, your dislike for Soul Calibur?
I still think Soul Calibur's a very good game.
What?
I don't know, I can't help it. I just don't think it's that great a fighting game.
It's funny how you should say that, and I class Soul Calibur 1 as the greatest fighting game of all time.
I mean, Soul Calibur 1's alright, but I mean, like, 4
well,
and 5
well, they're all pretty much
are,
just like 1, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, at the time and place of Soul Calibur 1, yes, I cannot disagree that Soul Calibur 1 was a very good fighting game.
Mm.
I was just subjected to way too much Soul Calibur 2 than is good for anyone.
Okay.
And as opposed to something like Street Fighter or even Smash Brothers, when I played those games a lot, I was like, wow, I really like the depth of this.
Mm.
I realised that it was just pretty much, I'll just go Nightmare, get the Soul Edge, and just fucking spam the button, and then you'll win every time.
It is something, when I think of Soul Calibur, I do think of playing as Nightmare. Straight out, because it is quite an exciting, enjoyable experience to play as Nightmare with his massive sword. But Nightmare's not unstoppable. You know, when you get two experienced Soul Calibur players, you can take down Nightmare, no problem. You know, he's not so difficult.
No. Maybe it's just the caliber.
It's a more balanced game than
against...
you're giving it credit for.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think 2, for me, I remember when 2 came out, I didn't think it was as good as 1. And I can't remember my exact reasoning for feeling like that. I think it was a little bit faster than 1.
Mm-hmm.
And really didn't do anything that made it any better than one, I don't think.
No.
The graphics maybe were a little bit better, but then...
I would argue that's a reoccurring theme with the Soul Calibur games, is they've not really made the game any better since
one.
But
then the graphics were really great in the first one. Yeah. You know, that was the game that sold me on the Dreamcast.
That was the reason a lot of my friends bought Dreamcasts.
Yeah. I've never had that same experience again with seeing a game that was so far ahead of the competition at the time. When I saw Soul Calibur, I hadn't seen anything like it before.
No. You know. I would agree with that.
So that was N64 prior to Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
And what struck me was how sharp everything was, for one thing.
Yeah.
You know, because you're playing N64, you're used to some blurry lines. You know, you're not used to seeing a clear picture.
No, you're not. I mean,
unless
you know.
Unless you're playing something using the expansion pack, I guess, where everything looks a little bit sharper.
Does it, though? Or is that just a trick of your mind?
It does. You know, when you got those high resolution menu screens as well.
Slightly more depth to your fogging.
I was playing a game the other day where I was surprised at the pop-up. Oh, yeah. Battlefront 2.
Right.
So I've played.
Is this 2 with a Roman numeral or 2 with a number? It's a very
numeral,
different.
The numeral. I was playing the beta or beta, depending beta on what you prefer to call it. There is pop-up in it.
Right.
I mean, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But I can't remember there being so much pop-up in the original, to be honest with you. I thought maybe the frame rate was suffering slightly.
Okay.
Online, at least. I thought there was a heck of a lot going on in that Naboo level I was playing on. Because as well as all these leaves blowing around, there's all these birds. So everywhere you go, it's leaves of birds. And you start to think it's a little bit weird that there's so many birds in Naboo.
Yeah.
In Theed, should I say, okay. Which is the city, isn't it? And then you've got this new, well, it's not new, it's from the old Battlefront that you can choose what class.
Yeah.
When you jump back in that. But it makes the game very stoppy and starty.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that great at it, and I die quite quickly. So to die, I only need to be thrust back into that screen to wait for everyone else to select who they want to be, to come back in and then die again. It wasn't that enjoyable of an experience for me, and I actually think the core gameplay itself wasn't really not much different than Battlefront 1.
Wow, there's a surprise. So,
although you have got, I mean, you can choose classes, okay, so you can play as a regular trooper, or they can play as a heavy one, you've got a different weapon, or the tactical one, you've got a different weapon.
So you're telling me that the half-assed game they released last year, they've not really done anything to it. Wow.
Well, that's
a surprise.
I think that would be unfair to say they haven't done anything to it, because they've increased the scope. Obviously, you've got all three film series accounted for now, which was nice.
Yeah.
At least, you know, to have the ability to play as characters from both the prequels and the sequels, shall we call them?
Yes.
But the gameplay itself, I didn't think was too far removed, and it still isn't. It weirdly isn't as satisfying as it should be, and I still can't put my finger on why.
It's because the shooting doesn't feel that good, and it never has.
No, and the fact that you can't just fire, you'll overheat, at least with some of the weapons, you know.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know what it is. You know, it's a beautiful game with such an amazing attention to detail and recreation of the Star Wars worlds.
Yeah.
It just hasn't got that fun atmosphere to it.
No.
Music doesn't play very often.
Yeah.
And leaving these kind of really sterile feeling when you're playing it.
Where you just
know.
Hear the Star Wars laser noise and then occasionally a stormtrooper or whatever will say something.
Cool.
It didn't
blow me away, and I really feel like it should have done.
Well, I haven't played it, I must admit. But I'm not playing it on principle that I feel that I was slightly ripped off with the first game and they never made right on that.
Yeah.
So in my bare bones principles, I cannot buy that second
They're trying
game.
To make right on it, but haven't they said there's not going to be add-ons, a season pass for this?
But mainly because, I believe, that a lot of their player base, from what I remember reading, did not buy the first season passes, so it meant the people who bought the season pass were then segregated into maps that other people couldn't play, and it completely split the user base, and people are realising, oh, that's not a good idea.
Certainly, because I've played online with my friend Gareth, who I play with regularly, and he didn't buy the extra stuff. Therefore, I didn't use the extra stuff a lot in the end.
Yeah.
Because if I was playing it, I'd usually be playing it with him. So, it was a little bit of a waste, but some of the extra stuff did add a lot to the longevity of the game. And a lot of different... There's almost too many different options, too many different types of game, and none of them really add enough to... I don't know. None of them are that fun.
Yeah, this is exactly my feeling. So I was just wandering into that bunker in Hoth and firing a gun off, and it didn't matter which of the guns I had, all that really changed was the fire rate and the range. I couldn't actually feel any difference in the guns. And so I was like, oh, well, I don't like this gun. Oh, well, I guess the next gun up will be better than this. Oh, no, actually, I don't like this gun. And then I slowly realized, well, as I got to level 25 and unlocked all the weapons, that I didn't like any of the guns.
No.
And that addressed for me the bigger problem with that game.
I just don't think it's very friendly to jump into a game and just have a bit of fun playing it.
I just think it's very bland.
Yeah, it's bland and unfriendly.
Yeah. Winning endorsement there. Put that in the back of a box. Bland and unfriendly.
No one's going to agree with bland because it is Star Wars.
I mean, it looks amazing. It does look amazing. The gameplay's just not there.
Besides what I said about, you know, some of that frame rate and the pop-up in the beta, at least.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to be totally honest to you. As much as I will probably watch a playthrough of the story of that game...
Yeah, that's when I thought that I remember... I played the multiplayer, I thought, well, I'm not going to buy this, right?
Yeah.
Then I remember there was a story mode. And what I was thinking when I was playing through the multiplayer was I was having a fun wandering around, looking at the environment, often going off and telling me, go back to the battlefield now. It's like, all right. And hopefully in the story mode, at least, you'd be able to appreciate these worlds that they've built, which are quite amazing.
Or in the grand scheme of DICE's... single-player content, i.e. Battlefield 4, and... But, I mean, Battlefield 1 did some interesting things. I will give them that. Battlefield 1's campaign was very interesting, but it was so modular in, like, oh, now you're playing as the American, now you're playing as the Italians, that you had, like, two or three levels. You didn't really give a shit about these characters, and they built it up and tried to attack it in the same way that they did in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
In Modern Warfare, that is, with, like, the nuke explosion and stuff, and big things happened... Yeah. And you're like, oh my god, things are happening. Oh dear. But you had no attachment to the characters, so it didn't really have the same emotional punch.
The menus are a little bit more Star Warsy now. They're all very washed out and white and very minimal.
They are the Battlefield 1 menus, is what I'm looking at.
Are they? Really? Yeah. And they feel, at least in their presentation, a little bit more Star Warsy. As we're just looking at some footage now, and I mean, visually, yeah. I mean, the shadows and everything. Man. It really does look, like, incredible.
I can't knock the visuals, but that's where...
I think maybe
all...
too busy because it's difficult to see things.
Yeah.
I find. Things don't stand out. There's not enough difference between the characters and the background sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't...
It looks to me like, looking at this game as a whole, that, and especially looking at the first one, and that's where a lot of my perhaps bias towards this game comes from, is there is way, way, way too much time spent on making this game look very pretty and not enough time
and
spent
accurate
on gameplay.
As well, isn't it? There's a lot of spent making it look like the films.
Yeah.
But then the weird thing is, they make it look like the films, and yet it doesn't quite feel
like
Star Warsy.
No.
Which is really odd, because I've not played many Star Wars games that don't feel
like Star Wars.
Like Star Wars,
yeah.
But somehow... I think it's the music. I think it's the absence of those familiar themes within the battles.
Yeah.
Because if you imagine Star Wars without its soundtrack, it's not Star Wars, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, I also don't think there feels like that much stakes in this game either, because you play as clone troopers, you play as stormtroopers,
battle droids.
You die so quickly, usually, as well.
It's all these birds. Look at the birds.
There is a lot of birds you are showing me, Tom. This plays super well on the podcast.
Well, for those who've played the beta, they know what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
have a look at it. I think it's still up until tomorrow, right?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't even know if I'm bothered to play it again.
I might dip into it and see.
Might love it, you know. I don't know.
No,
I don't think it's different enough from Battlefront.
I really don't think I'm going to.
But
oh well, we'll
there's
see.
A heavy battle droid. He's got this big, heavy cannon.
Yeah.
It does change up. These weapons do change up the game a little bit.
To be honest, there's never a moment in my life where I've gone, you know what would be fun to play as a battle droid? So but
this mode I was playing was very unique to the theme because this was recreating what are they called? The Trade Federation taking over the
palace.
The palace. In
Naboo, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to take the throne room. So it's a very specific type mission.
Okay. And it is something within the Star Wars canon. But I mean, yeah. All of the missions in Battlefront 1 were as well, yeah. Weren't they? Like,
yeah.
You know, it was getting.
It almost feels like there's too many specific things going on. Like, you've got to look after the carrier as it brings the troops in. Then yeah. You have to take the throne room. And it's like.
It's just like they are literally making a play by play thing of the original. Yeah,
but then, I know I appreciate they've gone to the length of doing that, but.
It's just like, just have fun. Like, yeah. Most of the Star Wars games that have been any good. Take liberty.
It's kind
with
of
the story.
Giving you a bit more freedom of what you can do, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm missing a little.
Oh, well. There you have it then. Bland and uninteresting. Put that in a box quote. While we're spouting unpopular opinions, Tom.
What are we on next?
I've been playing another game that has perhaps put its visuals ahead of its gameplay. Yeah, it's called Cuphead. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's been a while in development. I played Cuphead for about, I don't know, about an hour and a half this morning.
Mm.
I'm 25% of the way through that game, Tom.
25%?
Yeah, also.
But it's not a full price game either, is it?
It is £16 and yeah. 74 pence, which is, I think, an odd price. I looked at it, I was like, why is that such a weird price? But this is how long it's been since I've turned on my Xbox. This morning was me doing what I do once a year. Turning on my Xbox One, updating the console, and then playing the one game that I can only play on the Xbox.
Or the PC.
It was Ori and the Blind Forest way back when. Last year it was Inside, now it is Cuphead. Right. Do you want the good about Cuphead first
I want the good news first.
As with Battlefront... This game looks absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There is a real sense of style and a real clear love of these like 1930s, 1920s cartoons.
It's very accurate, isn't it? It could have been straight out of the time.
Yeah, it could. Mm. And a lot of what I've seen so far in terms of boss battles and levels is very, very much... in this vein of like, oh man, this looks really incredible, like the backgrounds look great and everything's got this layer of grain and distortion over it that makes it really appealing to look at visually. And also sounds great, like some of the songs in it for me have actually been some of the best stuff.
Yeah.
However, we've discussed in length and like you've realised why Mega Man games are good games, right? Like,
I had that moment where I realized that as well.
Yeah, there is just, you know, you bang your head up against it a few times and
you feel clever.
You feel clever by doing it. The thing is with Cuphead, it tries to do that. It tries to stylize it. It's so stylized with not only its visuals but how the game performs. It is clearly meant that you are supposed to just keep banging your head against this one level until you succeed, and then Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt, you're like, yeah! But I didn't really find it that difficult. If anything, I found a lot of what I ended up dying on actually kind of cheap.
Right, yeah.
So as you can see, you're watching footage of this as we speak. You can run, you have a dash, which gets you out of a lot of trouble, you shoot, and then you have a second weapon on, by pressing LB you can unlock a second weapon. Mm. It's like a straight shot you start with, and then you can have a thing that like is a homing shot, or only fires behind you and
before,
it hits for
yeah.
twice the damage if it hits. You have an ability called a parry, that anything pink in this game, if you jump at it and press A, you will bounce off it, and then you will generate meter for your super, which you hold by pressing B, which can be a shield or a higher power shot or something else. Obviously, it's meant to be a very difficult game. It's got a lot of things in it that are meant to challenge you as a player, and as we've long talked about in this podcast, a lot of the game is actually just boss fights. And that's fine. It does kind of make you realise that a lot of the games that people hold the were very much like this, that they were like 3 or 4 stage boss fights that would change and then there would be new mechanics. But I've not seen anything so far in my like hour and a half, whatever it is, 2 hours maybe with this game, that's made me go, wow, I've never seen anything like that in a video game before, except how the game looks. To be honest with you, the first 3 bosses, the one you just saw and this Botanic Panic one, are perhaps some of the easiest bosses I've ever fought in a game.
Wow.
They are literally, like, especially I got the homing shot, and all you need to do is home shot the guy, and, like, as you can see, like, maybe it's just because it's the first bosses. It's, oh, I will jump over these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty straightforward. And then as you go on, like, tears will fall from the sky because it's an onion and he's crying. And you're like, oh, God, no, I've just got to avoid these things in the air. And then everything seems to die pretty quickly. I've not come across anything yet that's given me much of a challenge.
But is it just a joy to play, though?
Not really. I don't.
Because looking at it, it's great. It brings a smile to my face just looking at it.
It looks incredible.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know. Like, I've never got that same rush you get from a Mega Man game. You're like, oh, shit, my health's going down. I got to spam these buttons super quick. Like, oh,
maybe
God.
You're
going
to get that eventually, though, once you reach some of the harder bosses.
I just don't find it that, like, but like, the thing is, right, the phases of these bosses are so bare. It's like, all you do in this stage now is you dodge 3 beams and he'll send some carrots at you.
Yeah, it doesn't look so tricky, this one.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, none of the things I've got to in 25% of the game have been tricky.
Yeah.
There's a random element of chance on these big frog bosses that throw out some stuff.
You didn't? There's
yeah,
a big plant.
I've started doing the plant as well, yeah. But it's just like, it's just basic platforming. Like, if you've played video games through the 90s and 80s, and even the early 2000s, like, none of it's really that challenging. All of it seems like there's a way to exploit the boss mechanics in some way. A lot of it's based around this idea of platforming and running and jumping as well. And some of that is super janky and not as tight as the running and jumping should be. I don't know, man. Like, maybe if I play more of it and maybe if it gets more challenging, I'll be into it. But honestly, right at the moment, like, other than looking at it visually, which I could do from a YouTube video, I'm not really getting why everyone's going, oh my God, this is perhaps one of the games of the year.
I think it's just because it looks like nothing else, isn't it? And people take notice of things when they look different.
Yeah.
And then you've got like, oh, it's really hard. And maybe that's more for the people who aren't used to these type of games, you know, because it's been a while since they released a brand new game maybe like this.
Yeah.
In terms of the gameplay style.
But I mean, you know, there's things like Mighty Gunvolt and there's but things like Axiom Verge.
I guess people haven't noticed them because they haven't got this visual aesthetic.
Because they're not being hyped as much because it's the only game coming out on the Xbox One this Christmas other than Forza.
So Cuphead isn't necessarily anything out of the ordinary, although, you know, it has a unique visual style.
It looks great. It's got some cool things to it.
In
terms of gameplay, I've really not been that bowled over. I'm kind of disappointed by it, to be honest. Yeah. I'll beat it. But to be honest, like, as I was playing it, I was just like, I'm just going to beat this for the bravado of saying I beat Cuphead. I want to see more of it, but like I said to you...
Well, let's see on next time. See how you're finding the game and if it gets any better then.
Yeah, I hope it does. Like, these levels with planes as well, which are slightly different. So there's, from what I've experienced so far, there's 3 main levels. There's an area where you're just doing a run and gun against a boss. There are some called that are just called run and guns, which is essentially a level with a small boss fight at the end of it. And you kill those bosses and then you gain either a power up or money or whatever it is, depending on the reward of the level. And then there's these areas where you are in a plane and it feels very much like a Parodius. It's a side-scrolling shooter with against a very well-animated boss. And you can do these things where you just shoot and fly, and if you press the R trigger, you shrink your plane size down, so you're harder to hit, but your shots do less damage and have less range.
Well, that sounds a little unique.
It's okay. I mean, you know, games have done that for a while. There's things like Aerostar and one or two other games on the Game Boy that have already done this mechanic of shrinking your ship to avoid damage. And I mean, it's also kind of a pattern of some of the cave bullet hell games now, is that you can shrink your ship. It's just taking some of that. It does make me wish for a really good side-scrolling shooter, to be honest. And I want that. There's a parry system, like I said, where you build up your special gauge. And to me, so far at least, it's really not intuitive. And I've actually needed to do it quite a lot to survive and to get coins in levels. And I just find myself getting injured for no real reason.
Yeah.
So these pink things are falling. Now, if you press A while you're in the plane, you can nullify those and parry, and you'll immediately kill them and gain some more special. But I don't know, man. Like, oh, this is actually quite fun. If you're the plane and you use your special, you turn into a bomb and fly into things, which is kind of cool.
I mean, if I'd have seen this game, you know, when I was a kid, if I could have imagined that games would look... I did imagine that games would one day look like a cartoon.
Yes.
And that's great. And I still want to see a Sonic game that looks like a cartoon.
But to be honest with you, like, when I was a kid and I would look at things like Sonic and I'd look at Mario, they would look like cartoons in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I would do the middle ground. I would do the middleman work to make sure
you convert those pixels into smooth
surfaces. And I go, wow, imagine this was actually like hand drawn.
Yeah.
And then we went beyond that. Like, we had these amazing looking, almost lifelike 3D characters, and then we had some really unique, cool cartoon characters that we could make out of 3D surfaces. Like, visually this game looks incredible, but so far I'm really not that bowled over by it.
I wonder if we'll ever get Cuphead 2, because this game's taken a long time to make. Because look at all the, I imagine, hand-drawn animation.
I imagine it sold quite well. I don't think it's going to, like...
But yeah, either way, even if they decide to do a sequel, it's going to take a long time to produce another Cuphead.
As a proof of concept, I think this is a cool game.
Yeah.
As, like, the second coming of the hard platformer, which a lot of people said it is, I'm just like, nah.
I wonder if they'll just do more games in this style, but of different genres, perhaps.
Yes, or different animation styles. Yeah. Maybe the next one won't look like 1930s. Maybe it'll look like 1980s.
80s cartoon
anime.
Show.
Yeah. And, yeah. Or, like, purposely look like cheap American animation. You know, like, there's things they can do with stuff like this.
The engine they've created to make Cuphead.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, they were using these sort of techniques back on the Mega Drive, weren't they, with Aladdin and Lion King and things, taking hand-drawn animation and turning it into... But they were limited then, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
With the resolution and such. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuphead.
It's a cool game.
So not necessarily, you're not saying it's a must-buy...
No.
Just you can watch it on YouTube and appreciate the
visuals. I think you
could
probably get more from it, to be honest, if you watch it on YouTube, which is a bit of a problem, but there we go.
Okay.
Because you're not going to get... Like, I tried to talk on the phone while playing this game, and it's just impossible. Like, it will punish you if you are not paying attention to it. And I was just like, I just kind of want to watch this animation. I feel, like, justified in doing that now I've paid for it, but... I'll beat it. I don't think it'll take me that long, to be honest with you. I think
But you shouldn't be put off if you're worried about the difficulty.
I really don't think so. I think if you know your way, if you've beaten some Mega Man games, I don't think you're going to have an issue with
this game. I haven't
beaten
any Mega Man games yet. I played some.
Honestly, like, I think you will get to tough bosses in Mega Man games, especially if you've played like Mega Man X. Some of the boss rush stuff and some of the things against Sigma at the end of that game... And Dr. Wily, even in Mega Man games, you have to beat the entire bloody level and get back to that boss.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you just click on the boss and then you go. You don't have to worry about all that stuff in between. And to be honest with you, that kind of takes me out of this a little bit. Because it's just like, okay, I'll play the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. At least when you're playing the stages before it, there's some more chance and there's some things that could definitely happen. And
it sounds like you maybe found Sonic Mania harder.
I did, actually. I'm more trouble with Sonic Mania. But that's not because of actually the level design itself. It's just because of the time limit. If I didn't have a time limit in Sonic Mania, I think I'd have beaten the game by now.
Mm.
Oh, that's how it goes.
Cool. So you spent the most of your time playing Cuphead? Or have you gone back to Yakuza at all?
I haven't. No. I sat
not
down...
Not since last week.
I sat down a little bit with it. I beat the second chapter.
This is
chapter.
Yakuza 0 we're talking about.
No, this is Yuza Kowami.
No, we're not talking about 0 anymore. We finished that one.
We did,
We're talking about the remake of one.
Yeah.
Which you weren't sure whether you were that inclined to really get into playing it because it's been so not so long since you completed it.
No, exactly. I remember the story pretty much beat for beat. Yeah. And this is a good remake. I will say to those of you who are looking to experience that first Yakuza story, give it a go. I still think the story holds up. I don't think the experience on the PS4 is as tight as the PS2 game was.
Oh.
There are some things that have changed. I talked about this last week.
Yeah.
But I beat another chapter and I was like, actually, no, I'm okay for now. I don't need to play this game. If I'm going to play anything, I'll play Ishin, which is the last console game that I haven't played. But
which is the Japanese exclusive.
Yes. Yeah. KHH Subs, the guy who is going through and adding all of the translation to this stuff, is only on the fifth chapter, so I'm going to wait until he's done so I can do that. But yeah, Yakuza's pretty much over in my eyes now. I love that series. It's still probably my favourite series now in terms of consistency, I don't think.
Wow, so that beats like... What other contenders would you have for your favourite video game series?
My favourite video game series? Obviously, Mario is up there. I think Legend of Zelda is also up there. More unconventional things, I guess you're probably looking... I like anything Supergiant has put out, actually. It's not really a series of games, but I really love Bastion and Transistor as well, even though not a lot of people like that. I actually was debating, should I just buy Pyre, because that looks like it'd be right up my street, or should I buy Cuphead? And
I think in these situations, you just go with your gut and go what you know.
I should have just gone with Pyre. Like,
because
honestly,
Cuphead is the new thing, but I was doing this a lot. I was buying games because they had good reviews.
Yeah.
And not necessarily being something I was really into.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, this Cuphead should tick all of my boxes.
Yeah, but
and it just doesn't. Yeah. It feels very bland, and I'm kind of a bit saddened by it. But there we go. To be honest with you, maybe I'm being too harsh on Cuphead. Because before this, I decided to put Nier Automata in.
Yeah.
And fuck me, Tom. Like, honestly, that is the best opening to a game ever.
Well, I have played the opening, so...
The opening chapter of that game, we've discussed this on this podcast before.
You
I
go
will
back
not talk
to
about
one
it
of
in
our
length.
Nier, one of our many Nier podcasts.
But just the way it starts of just, like, this very, like, deep, like, hey, you know, like, everything is made to be destroyed, essentially, da-da-da-da-da, what a horrible thing. I wonder if we'll kill the gods who did this to us. It's like, okay, that's a bit deep. And then you start off, and you're all in like a squad formation, your squad gets taken out, as it's showing you, oh
overhead
shit, actually this
bit.
Is an overhead shooter, this is actually amazing. And then it transfers into like the Ikaruga, like style 3D free roaming shooting with a vertical edge to it. And then you were on the ground and you're doing these awesome combos with swords, and just the pace of it and the music and the atmosphere is so fucking good that I think maybe even Cuphead's veneer of being an impressive game is just kind of overshadowed by me going, this is really nice and all, but I just really want to go and play Nier Automata again.
Yeah.
It's going to be a difficult one to do our Game of the Year podcast this year, because I've played so many fucking good games. It's unreal. But every time, I've only played that first hour of Nier Automata now, and I've done it 3 times.
Oh, you have, haven't you?
It's so fucking good. That I'm just like, if the rest of this game is even half as good as this introduction, then it's going to be one of my favourite games of all time.
Mm.
And I liked the original Nier. We talked about it at length. Like, I like how the story works, but the gameplay somewhat felt dated. Nier Automata, for me, just scratches every itch I have. And after I've beaten it, I'm probably going to go back and play through the Drakengard games. Because...
Tell you another game that had a great opener.
What's that?
Metal Gear Solid 5. I thought it was a
Metal
good
Gear Solid
5 has
got a good opener.
Well.
Do you download it on PlayStation Plus by any chance?
No,
or I know you already have
I own it,
it
so I don't need to download it. Yeah.
Final Fantasy 7, incredible opening.
Good opening.
You know, the heiress walking through the slums, the market, and then you coming into the reactor on the train, and like...
Don't know. Didn't really blow me away.
That made me love Final Fantasy. That's such a good opening to a game.
Of course, 9 is available now in a sort of high-resolution version.
It is, yeah.
Does that interest you
also
at all?
I really like 9. 9, 7, and I'd say 6 are my favourites. I really like 5. I played a lot of 5. 4 was alright. Four's story I like, but it goes off the rails a bit at the end.
I wonder if we'll get 8 in sort of high res, because there is a PC version of 8 as well, so perhaps
there is. That will I assume it's up. Coming. I do.
We've
think...
had 7 already, haven't we? Yeah. We had 7 on PS3.
7 was released. No, 7's also on PS4. Okay. They released that when they did this making the list thing and announced the remake. 9 is out now.
But they essentially are more so the PC versions, anything, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
It would seem to me, at least. Yeah.
And I assume 8 will be coming soon, because 8 also has a milestone anniversary coming up, from what I remember.
Yeah.
I don't like 8 as much.
No. Well, you know, 8 was one of the first ones I played, actually. Quite like the atmosphere.
It's got a cool atmosphere.
Played it for a while.
Feels very different to the rest of the Final Fantasies, though. It starts... 8 is where you kind of see this kind of neo-futurism coming in that would be prevalent in 13 and 15.
Mm.
It's kind of the divide between Final Fantasies for me starts with 8. You get the futuristic style Final Fantasy games, more realistic, and then you have the fantasy side. 7's kind of does that, but 7 still feels like a very mythical world in comparison. Like, 8 feels so grounded in realism with, like, the seed and the schools and all this kind of stuff. It's got some great moments in it. It's just, I've talked about it on the podcast before. I feel really hard done by that game because I didn't really level accordingly and got to the last but one boss pretty much and was gated in my progression because all the enemies would only give me 1 XP. It's just bullshit.
Let's move on from Final Fantasy before Matt gets angry. Diablo. I've been playing Diablo 3 lately. Have you played that before?
I have played Diablo back in the day. I think I've dabbled in a bit of 2.
Everyone I've spoken to said 2's a better game, basically.
My sister-in-law loves Diablo 3.
Yeah.
It is all she really plays. She met her boyfriend through playing Diablo 3, actually.
Really?
So.
It's a very easy-to-play game. I don't think we talked about it last week. I talked to you about it off podcast.
No, we didn't. You talked to me about it, yeah.
I've played it for quite some time now, and it is one that you just keep playing, maybe in a similar way to something like Destiny or something like that.
Yeah.
You just play through it, level up. Gameplay is practically the same all the way through, from what I've done so far, at least. I'm playing as a female barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying collecting new armors and upgrading, just in the same way I did with Destiny.
Yeah.
It is that sort of archetype of that genre.
Yeah.
You know? Even though it is a different genre. You know what I mean? It's still about...
It's that loot-based,
yes,
hey,
let's
beat
it.
Things, get better loot.
Yeah, because essentially the gameplay is very samey.
Yes.
But it's solid and fun.
I mean, you will level, you will unlock new abilities, you will fight harder bosses as you go through that game.
Yeah, but I haven't found any real challenge in it yet, playing it cooperatively.
You probably will.
Yeah.
From what I understand, some of the end... level bosses are pretty high level and pretty hard to kill, but
I just killed the skeleton king.
Okay. I don't know, I've never played Diablo 3, but
what can be confusing is I'm playing as the warrior and Gareth, he's playing as a witch doctor, and he has these little dogs which he can send out to attack.
Yeah,
and I keep confusing them for enemies.
Ah, okay.
You know, it's a little bit difficult. He does all projectile attacks and I get it stuck in there with the sword based stuff, but yeah, that's a little confusing.
I'm guessing you'll get used to it.
Chatting to a colleague of ours, Lauga, who's played plenty of Diablo.
Yes.
But he wasn't so keen on 3 because he was saying that he's too zoomed out. When you get more than one player in, you can't really appreciate the visuals so much. And things get a little bit confusing, he was saying, at least for him. I don't know, because I've not played 2, really. But I can potentially see what he means about there being a lot on screen at one time. Lot going on. I think some of the dialogue can sound a little cheesy. It's not a criticism. I just throw that out there.
Okay.
And it might take some people out of the experience, but
okay,
it's all right with me. It's all typical swords and sorcery fodder. There's not anything really unique going on in there, at least so far.
No.
But it's a bit of a fun game to play on a Thursday night for an hour or so.
Yeah. That's good.
Very pick up and play.
I wouldn't mind picking up Diablo. I hear it's good. Like I said, my sister-in-law to be is absolutely obsessed with that game. She's played a lot of it.
It feels a little hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For her, it's just a chat room. It's just people she used to play WoW with and a few other games, and they all get together and they play Diablo and they chat.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
It's fine. It's good. You know, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I like it. What else? Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Right, playing that the other week.
Yeah.
And there was someone with these two massive cannons. right? And they were unstoppable.
Sounds like Call of Duty.
Annoyed me a bit, because I prefer it when the playing field is a little bit more even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, people have this same tactics of going to an area and staying around that area, so you just have to go to them, and then the game just takes place around one point.
Okay.
And I don't really like that either.
That's a shame.
There's certain ways people play the game, you know. But still, very solid and still very enjoyable. It's where I get my Call of Duty kicks at the moment. We moved on from Black Ops 2, and I've still been playing and enjoying Advanced Warfare.
Yeah.
Although I don't like all these sort of... you get crates with weapons in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, and it's confusing me, because one day I was wearing this helmet that I got and saying, you cannot wear that helmet anymore. It was a limited use item. I was like, oh, right, okay. Why does it have to be like that?
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, so I can get these things in these crates for doing well, and then they'll have them taken away from me at some point because they're only meant to be used for a little
That's weird.
Time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't answer that.
Confusing the amount of weapons, though, and things. You know, I kind of got it before with Black Ops 2, and I can keep track of my weapons and upgrade each one.
Yeah.
Now it just feels like there's too much. But this is old news to you guys who play Call of Duty, because you've been playing that and probably on to the next thing.
I mean, like the World War II bay is out as well, right?
Yeah.
Is that out yet?
Is it out? I don't know. That's Sledgehammer again. I think Sledgehammer did this one, Advanced Warfare. Very competent, really good. But
I'm sure it'll be all right. I wouldn't mind playing the campaign, but we'll see.
There you go.
Yeah. I did some Destiny raiding. That's my Thursday nights now, is playing some of them, their Destinies, and doing some raids. Didn't talk about it last week. Yeah, Leviathan's pretty interesting. Leviathan is the name of the raid.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They've beaten all of the other raids, like Vault of Glass and the other two that I can't remember the name of. I only ever did Vault of Glass, and I was cool.
Had a Vault of Glass. Seemed like the real thing.
I don't know. Debbie Harry. Debbie Parry, more like. So we did it. Go in. It's got a very cool, like, opening of you landing on this thing, and it's all... It's like a casino. It's like, you know, like, when you see Greek, like, Bacchus, the god of wine, and everything's so grand, and people drinking goblets of wine and stuff, and all of the things look like a casino, everything's decked out in gold and ivory, and it's a bit in your face with how, like...
Well, that sounds like some nice design there.
Big a display of wealth it is. So you start off, the first encounter is essentially you having to get these flags... So you have two people up the top fighting these guys who bring the flags, and then everyone else is down the bottom defending this area where people bring flags to. We did that pretty easy. We did it with five people last week out of the six that you can take on a Destiny raid. Got some nice gear, got the shaders, which are in this game. You remember in Destiny 1, you got shaders. Yep. Like, okay, cool, I equipped the shader. I now all of my costume looks black and looks cool.
Overall look, and instead of being all patchy.
Yes. Yeah. Shaders in this game are a limited use item. You can only use them on one item, and then after you do that, they're gone. So you have to make sure that your equipment is...
Not limited use items, again.
it's kind of bullshit, especially as... The in-game currency, the silver, which unlocks emotes and shaders, is essentially the only thing you need to pay for. So if you wanted to, you could pay like £5 and get 800 gold or whatever it is and buy some bright engrams, and maybe you'll get some more shaders.
I love engrams.
Oh, yeah.
I love decoding those engrams.
Oh, man. Decode them, take them to the crypt dark. You could do that if you wanted to. It's just a bit gross. But... I don't really want to use any of my shaders because, alas, anytime I use any of my shaders, that's the first game, not Destiny 2. Tom's searching for Destiny 2 Vault of Glass.
It is?
No, my friend. That's Easter eggs. Vault of Glass is the first one. Leviathan is the second.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry.
So you do this stuff anyway. Going off the point, we've got some shaders, we've got some engrams. And then last week we ran a bit of it called the Gauntlet, which is essentially four people have to stay outside and defend these 4 points, and they have big triangles above them. And then two people run the Gauntlet. And so they go inside and they need to run and jump through hoops, and you need to be the person running. You have to call out top of whatever section it is. There's a dog, there's a chalice, there's a hammer, and there's something else. You have to say, like, top dog, and then they have to shoot the top triangles of the dog.
It's a bit unique.
It requires some coordination. It's pretty good. From what I've heard, though, that was in some of the other raids in the first game.
I wouldn't know. I don't think I've ever done a raid.
I did Vault of Glass, like I said, and then I dropped out of the game because I didn't want to buy the expansions. The Sun is the other thing, though. Then, this week, we had the option of going back and doing that gauntlet, but we were finding it pretty difficult. One of our guys didn't quite get the whole shooting the triangle thing, and so we said, okay, we'll go into the next bit, which is called the Pleasure Gardens.
Were in saucy. DD.
So you go into this garden, and you kill all of the troops and stuff that are in there, and essentially there are these two big cannons that people have to pick up. And once they've picked up those cannons, it starts, and the area fills with mist, and six dogs run into the area. Essentially, what you have to do then is you have to pick up this object, like an orb, and then you're all walking around, four of you in a group, and you have to get near these big spores. There's big plants all around the map. And the people with the cannons are walking on tops, kind of distracting the dogs for you so you can go and get these things. And telling you, like, oh, go now, the dog's gone. and so you're doing that, and you're building up whenever you go near these spores and they fire. You're getting a buff that will allow you to kill the dogs faster.
What's a buff?
A buff, you know, like it's making you more powerful.
Oh, right.
It's buffing you. It's bringing your stats up.
I heard something when I was watching the footage of Battlefront 2, and they were talking about peaking.
Yes.
What's peaking?
I don't actually know in the context of Battlefield. No,
they kept going about it. It's like people from a distance shooting them from when they're far away.
Yeah.
I don't know my terminology. Buff. Okay, we'll move on.
Buff's MMO. I'm not that familiar with shooter technology. Anyway, so you get these buffs, and essentially what the plan is, you walk around a lot. Player. You get like 96 of these things because they buff you 12 at a time, and then you hammer the dogs because you have to kill them at the same time. So everyone goes and picks a dog, and then you're all just trying to shoot these dogs and try and kill them at the same time. You only have three phases to do this, because if one of them spots you, it lets out a howl, which opens a safe room, so you need to...
Is this the Pleasure Garden?
Yes, it is. Yeah. You need to do a load of damage to the dogs super quick, and then you need to get back to the safe room, because if you're outside when the dogs stop howling after the safe room is done, then you all die. So it's all a bit weird.
But this is like a raid is an event that happens once and then it doesn't happen ever again.
Is no, right? A raid is just like a huge thing. I mean, you can clear it as many times as you want. It's like a dungeon in World of Warcraft or in anything else. But it was super cool. I enjoyed the Pleasure Gardens more than I enjoyed the vault bit.
Well, of course.
The gauntlet. So
Pleasure Garden sounds like Pleasure a more Gardens. Enjoyable experience.
It looked like it was the hardest bit of the raid, to be honest. But it's actually pretty fun. I enjoyed it. I'll let you know Thursday what we end up doing, because we're resetting the raid every time, which means we don't continue where we left off, so we can at least get the first bit of gear. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm enjoying it so far anyway. The raid seems pretty worth playing the game for, which is nice. But after that, it won't be anything new until December, so maybe Destiny will go away once we're done with the raid. But I'll let you know as we play it week in, week out, which bit of the raid we're doing and how we did on it. And we got some more, power levels is the equivalent to light levels in the old game. So we got up on power. So hopefully we'll have an easier time a bit next week.
It makes me want to, talking about all these multiplayer experiences online, new Phantasy Star. That would be great, wouldn't it?
It would. It's coming to Switch. So Phantasy Star 2 is coming to Switch. So let's see if they translate it to English this time.
Oh,
who knows?
Yes, I want that.
Yeah. You played anything else? Or are you done?
No, not really. It's been buying a few games here and there. I've already chatted to you a bit about this, but I got the Herberikes Papoon. Herberikes. Yes. What's his name? This is a very weird titled game. It was released in Europe, even though it sounds like it was a Japanese exclusive. Yeah,
Herberikes.
Yeah, Super Nintendo game. It's a puzzle game. Looks a lot like Puyo Puyo to me.
Made by Sunsoft. Same lineage as Euphoria and Gimmick and Tripled in art style. Of course, same developers.
Yeah, looks nice. But a Tenchi Muyo Puyo Pop clone thing.
Yes.
I don't know if it looks like it has some unique aspects to it. So
Other than the anime.
Yeah, I haven't got a Tenchi game, and I'm a big fan of Tenchi, so I thought, oh, I could do a Tenchi
game. I'm quite surprised there are Tenchi games, to be honest. Yeah. But then
there was a good one on the Super Nintendo that you play in an emulator. It wasn't a fighting game. It was like an adventure game. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know how I played it. Maybe it had been translated.
I assume it had been translated.
Copies of Haunting Ground are very cheap at the moment on eBay if you want to get a brand new sealed one for about a tenner.
Yeah, I'm going to grab one, I think.
Poochie Carrot is, well, more like Breakout than it is Puyo Puyo, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah. This looks like a unique puzzle game. I don't know how I stumbled across it, actually.
Yeah.
I just happened to and found out there was both a Game Boy Color version and a PS1 version.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up picking up both of them for about 14 quid, which yeah. was, I think, a bit of a bargain.
I think I have the Game Boy Color version of it. Like, if not, it's because I'm confusing it with Monkey Puncher all the time because the artwork on the front looks very similar.
It's full of anime characters.
Yeah.
But I'm very much enjoying just pick-up-and-play type games. Puzzle games are a favourite of
mine. I had always assumed that this was a Pokemon clone, but no, it isn't. It's a breakout game. There we go.
Yeah. And I got a Japanese copy of Sin and Punishment.
For the N64.
For the N64, may I point out. Yeah. Because that was one of those Japanese N64 games I felt I really
It was the last one released, I think. The N64, at least developed by Nintendo.
Was it really?
Or co-developed by Nintendo. I know it's Treasure, but...
Yeah. And also, when I was looking at Japanese N64 games, I hadn't realised this previously, but there were two versions of Mario 64. One that uses the Rumble Pack and one that doesn't.
Oh, that's
so they released one later on after the Rumble Pack had been released, which gives Mario 64 Rumble features. So I think that could be interesting to play, but not essential.
Did they do that in... Does the... The Mario 64 that came out in Europe and America automatically do the rumble features. I didn't know that.
No, because it came out at launch and this came out after. It happened with this and also Wave Race got a rumble version as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was quite...
The more you know, Tom Parry.
The more you know.
Yeah. I picked up some Game Boy Advance games. Our local Blue City was doing Game Boy Advance games for like 30 krona.
Yeah.
And so I went in there and I was like, ooh, hello. Got Mario versus Donkey Kong, which is a puzzle game that has long eluded me. Yeah. Got Golden Sun 2, nice. Which I didn't own, surprisingly.
I had the first one.
Mm. I played it to death. I never played the second one.
I got rid of it.
I'm curious to see, actually, because I literally got all the gins. I did all the secret dungeons and stuff in that game.
Impressive game, wasn't it? It's like you got a Game Boy Advance. It was a nice one to show off what the Game Boy Advance could do.
But it also has a... like a save password thing at the end, so if you were to type the password into the second game, it will unlock a load of stuff. Mm. So I'm curious to see if I go back home and open up my box with my Game Boy games in, my original collection still in my mum and dad's, in a separate box, just in case anything ever happens and I need to sell stuff.
Is that a reasonably sized collection you used to have? This nice, smaller scale?
About 15 Game Boy games, about 20 Game Boy Advance games, I think.
Yeah, that's sort of like my Game Boy collection. Yeah.
So I'm going to go there, I'm going to fish that out and then type in that code and see what happens.
Well, do let us know.
Yeah, I got the two Konami Turtles games in a double pack.
Oh, they did that?
They did that,
The beat-em-ups?
The beat-em-ups, on one cart for 30 krona, which is nice.
I didn't know that existed.
I got the Dragon Ball Adventures game, the JRPG.
Yeah, that one.
There was a Barbie double pack, which I was
couldn't resist it.
I've never seen it, so I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I've never actually seen this cartridge, so I picked that up. And I also got the Harry Potter collection, which is the first three Harry Potter games. They released a similar collection on the PlayStation 2, but again, I'd never seen this cartridge before, so I was like, okay, I'll take that as well.
Reasonably priced.
30 krona each. For like, you know.
Sounds good.
For just over 15 quid, you can't say fairer than that, can you? Even like Golden Sun, Mario, and Turtles
all unboxed,
would have cost me more than that. All unboxed, unfortunately, but if they had 30 krona box games of that quality, I would have picked them all up. Mm-hmm. But
they haven't had anything that interesting there for a while, I don't think.
No, they haven't. That copy of Little Samson's still there.
699 krona.
Yeah. So, you know, if
keeps
you
keeps going down.
75 quid copy of Little Samson, it's there for you. But it's the ESP label, so it is the cheaper of them. But believe it or not, Tom, same game, it still plays.
Yeah, exactly. We're not that into
hardcore
collecting.
If you're at that level of sniffing your own farts with NES collecting, then it's a big deal, I'm sure.
But then again, you do collect variations on Game Boy games, don't you?
I do, but I mean, like, all of my Game Boy collection is US and European. Like, it's whatever region that game came out in. Yeah. I don't care. Like, there are some that are region exclusives, which is why, obviously, I want those.
Sure.
And the Chinese carts are interesting to me, so I collect those.
And
but
it's the same with me with Lemmings and Worms games. I mean, there's a Japanese... I'm showing Matt the Japanese cover for Lemmings on the PSP.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's quite a nice little thing. It's got a unique instruction manual and... Oh,
I'm should have asked me to keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, I didn't think about it the time.
So it goes.
I didn't realise it had a different package. Because, weirdly enough, every version of Lemmings on the PSP has a different cover.
Oh, that's interesting.
The American one also has a different cover.
Is it better than the PAL one? Because it's the same as the PS2, right?
Yes, I think, I don't know, I can't remember. Lemmings on the PSP with its three different colors. The European one is a bunch of lemmings on the front.
It's the PS2 cover.
The PS2 cover is different.
I'm telling you, it's the same cover.
Oh, no, it isn't. I can show you. So I show Matt these things that you can't see.
PS2 cover. Fair enough. Maybe I have.
Don't
doubt
my knowledge
game.
Of Lemmings covers.
This is true. I played with fire and I got burned.
There's the American cover.
Oh, it doesn't look anywhere near as good.
Really? Yeah. I think that's better.
I
like that more.
It looks weird.
Look him up on eBay if you're curious what we're looking
at. Exactly. Right. We need to not do this next week. We need to not make this podcast a visual element.
No, but I think it's nice to actually have something on our screen when we're talking
about
games.
Did you buy
games.
That in the end, the compilation card?
I never bothered buying the compilation package.
I think you should get that because it's clearly missing from your collection.
No, it's not got a it's not got a nice cover.
I know.
This is a three-game collection with Go Puzzle, Lemmings and Go Sudoku. No interest in it. Looks horrible. Don't
hey,
want
Tom
it.
Barry, I mean, you say that, but I mean, it's a Lemmings game you don't technically own.
Well.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is how we plant the seed.
Maybe one day. Does that mean I have to get a platinum version of Lemmings to the PSP as well?
No, because that's just stupid. Right, okay, let's wrap this up, Tom Parry.
Yes.
If you would like to...
If
you would like to communicate with the humans on this podcast, you can do so in a variety of places. I don't know why I went
Dalek.
You can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can do so on Twitter at TMAcast. And you can leave a comment on blastprocess.com or on our website where the podcast is, TomandMattAttack.com/podcast. Mm-hmm. There is an individual blog entry for all of these podcasts, so comment on that, we'll know what you're talking about. You can also find this podcast, where all good podcasts are to be had, on the Blast Process YouTube channel, on Stitcher, and also in the old iTunes. While you're there...
The old iTunes.
The old iTunes.
Not the new one.
I mean, I assume it's also the new one. Who knows? While you're there, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe? Helps us get around and know you're listening. Okay, Tom Parry, I'm going to go home. I might have a lie down. Might play a bit more Cuphead. Who knows?
Ooh, after a lie down.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, charge your batteries.
Exactly. While I'm doing that, what do we tell them?
What do we tell them?
Yeah.
See you next week.
We do. We also tell them to game on.